Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, these words of Jesus as he was teaching his church to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord's Prayer is called the perfect prayer because it came to us from the Lord Jesus. It contains everything for which we should pray. Not only does it petition God for everything worthy of prayer, it is also perfectly constructed. It begins by addressing our Father in heaven and asking him to bring the treasures of heaven to earth. This is done when his name is hallowed among us, when his kingdom comes to us, and when his good and gracious will is done for us. Our Father in heaven is making his home with us here on earth. The last three petitions ask God for what will bring us from this earth to heaven. God will bring us from here to there by forgiving us our trespasses, by leading us not into temptation, and by delivering us from evil. Right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer is the single petition that deals specifically with what we need to live our physical lives here on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. God has hallowed his name among us by baptizing us into it and keeping us in the grace of our baptism. God has brought his kingdom to us by purchasing it on the cross and placing us into it by the preaching of the cross. God's good and gracious will has been revealed to us, and we've learned that the suffering we face in this life can't rob us of our joy and our hope for bliss in heaven. It is as God's children that we are bold to ask God for our daily bread. Who's going to give us our daily bread? It is our Father who has hallowed his name among us, brought his kingdom to us, and revealed to us his good and gracious will. We're not asking daily bread from an unknown God who doesn't even know what we need. We are asking daily bread from the one who saw us in our deepest need before we were even born and met that need at great cost to himself. From whom are we asking our daily bread? We are asking from the one to whom the whole world belongs. And if we are his children, this means that whatever belongs to him is ours as well. Children will call the house owned by their parents our house. Christians should regard the world that their Father has given them as our world. This world doesn't belong to itself. It doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to the one who made it, and he is our Father. Therefore, it is our world. When God created everything out of nothing by the word of his mouth, he blessed Adam and Eve, whom he had made in his own image, and then he said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." While sin brought God's curse on the world, it didn't take this world away from God. The world still belongs to God. And while sin distorted and corrupted the image of God in mankind, we are still to have dominion over every living thing that moves on the earth. Just as God is our Lord and Father, we are to be lords over the world he has given us. As we govern the world as its lords, for this is what it means to have dominion over, God will provide every bodily need we have. How? Through this good earth on which he has placed us. It is not as if God made the world and now ignores it, leaving it to its own devices to make it or break it according to certain laws of nature. No, God personally sees to it that the sun rises and sets, the rains and the snows fall, the crops grow and the rivers flow. God governs this world, not only through the natural laws he set into motion, but also through people. We pray for a pious spouse and children. We pray for pious and faithful rulers. We pray for good government. We pray for what our Father knows is necessary in the day-to-day provision of our physical needs. And we are praying to the one who governs this world. Good governments that respect private property and reward industry, thrift, and investment will serve as God's means of providing material abundance. Bad governments that ignore God's law, as that law is written in the conscience, will bring poverty, scarcity, and even famine on the countries they rule. Take the simple command of God, "Thou shalt not steal." If the law can't protect private property, people won't work. Why work if what you're working for can be taken away from you without any legal recourse in getting it back? And if nobody works, who will plow, plant, and harvest? Who will teach and build and invest? God uses good government to provide us with daily bread. And this is why we should pray for our rulers, even when, especially when, we think that they're corrupt or incompetent, because the same God who determines the heat and the moisture of the atmosphere can and does change the hearts and behavior of people who might not listen to what we say. But our Father in heaven runs this world through people. This is how we can confidently call on Him for our daily bread. He made the world for His children. He gave the world to His children. That doesn't mean it's ours to do with as we choose. It's ours to care for as servants of God. God made Adam and Eve in His image. They were like Him. They were capable of worship. They were endowed with a will that desired God above all things. When they lost that divine image by sinning, they didn't lose their worth or value as human beings. No, God redeemed us in order to restore the lost image, and through Christ we can once again worship God because we can know Him rightly. We know God our Father rightly by looking at Him as His Son reveals Him. And Jesus reveals or shows us the Father by humbly and dutifully laying down His life for us on the cross. There in the suffering of Jesus we see the glory of our Father in heaven. There His holy name is eternally hallowed. There His kingdom is established. There His good and gracious will is revealed. There the forgiveness we need is obtained. There is the power to withstand all temptation. There we are delivered from evil. And there is also where we find the assurance that our Father will always provide us with our daily bread. You don't have to be a Christian to know that God gives us daily bread. But you must be a Christian if you are to know that the God who gives us daily bread is also our loving Father. The attitude we have toward our material needs is strongly influenced by our attitude toward the one who provides them. Is He for us or against us? Does He love us or not? Is He really concerned with the specific details of our lives, or is His attention directed elsewhere? None of these questions can be answered by the fact that we have food, clothing, shelter, and a peaceful life free from violence, robbery, disease, and famine. The temporary well-being of anybody is just that, temporary. To base our faith that God will provide us with our daily bread on the fact that God has up to now provided us with our daily bread is an insufficient foundation for faith. We need more than what we have seen and experienced. We need God's Word. And that is what the fourth petition provides us. Hear Jesus, the Son, whom God did not spare, but freely gave up on the cross for us all, tells us that our Father in heaven will never forget our bodily needs. We don't need to assume that God will feed us tomorrow because God fed us yesterday. Instead, we can have complete confidence that God will feed us tomorrow because Jesus says He will. He teaches this in the words that follow the Lord's Prayer as recorded in Matthew 6. What are we worth? Certainly more than the birds of the air and the grass of the field that God feeds and clothes. What are we worth? We are made in the image of God. We are redeemed by the blood of His Son. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. What are we worth? We are worth the price that God Himself has placed upon us when He chose to become poor so that through His poverty we might become rich. What is our worth? It is the worth of heaven itself, because heaven belongs to us even while we still live here on earth. So we pray for our daily bread. not a lifetime supply. We don't need that much. We only need what we can use right now. Far from teaching us not to invest and plan and work for our future, Jesus' command to pray for our daily bread teaches us that when we plan and work, we let God do the worrying about where the planning and working will leave us. It's not as if our daily bread depends on us. If it did, Jesus wouldn't teach us to pray for it. Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread because we need, more than our bread, to rely every day on our Father to provide it. The Old Testament church was formed during the 40 years of wandering around the Sinai Peninsula as they ate a food called manna that God rained down from heaven. If they gathered more manna than they needed, it would turn rancid on the second day. So they learned to take only what they needed and to let God worry about their provision for the next day. Jesus identified himself as the bread of life that came down from heaven, and surely the manna of the Old Testament was a prefiguring of how Jesus would provide his flesh and blood as food for our salvation. Some have suggested that the daily bread of the fourth petition could also be an allusion to the Lord's Supper, in which we receive Christ, the bread of life, who gives us his body and blood in this holy sacrament. The idea of daily bread drives home our need. We aren't in control of the world. We were given dominion, but we've never been able fully to exercise it. This is why we depend implicitly and constantly on the one who remains King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Albert Einstein was pretty bright. He was once asked if he knew the answer to a specific scientific question, and he confessed that he did not know. The questioner was rather surprised because he knew how smart Einstein was reputed to be. But the great scientist continued by explaining that he knew where to look to find the answer. Why should he have to know the details? And why should we? Do you know how you will make ends meet? How you will pay all your bills? How your daily bread will keep on coming in next month and next year? Maybe not. But in Christ, you know the one who will give you your daily bread. Surely your Father in heaven, who loved you enough to send his only Son to suffer and die, and to take away all your sins, and to make you his holy child, also loves you enough to see you clothed and fed. He who won for you and gave to you eternal life will surely provide for all your bodily needs in this life. Amen. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Devonger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. We invite you to visit the congregations of our parish. During these summer months and into the fall, we have divine service at 8 o'clock Sunday morning in Fertile, at 9:30 Sunday morning in Crookston, and at 11:30 Sunday morning in Mayville. We also have a website that we encourage you to visit, christforus.org. You'll find sermons posted from and also audio sermons from these broadcasts. We thank you for joining us today and invite you to tune in next Sunday morning, the same time, same station, for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.